gentlemen, and welcome to Your No Show, the space and place where we talk about how it is that we are showing up in the world and how it is that spirit is using us. This is Your No Show. And the most pleasant good evening and welcome. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host during this next 59 minutes where we will chat about, talk about all of the phenomenal things that are going on in life. And we are so excited and so grateful that you decided to be with us. We have John Gilmore, whose mic is now live and open. We have Carrie Kelly, who is online and live and right with us. So I'm expecting and anticipating that I will be joined momentarily by Emma. Emma, are you with me? Let me see.
She's having a little problem calling in, but she's getting ready to momentarily.
Okay, great. Excellent. That's fine, John. I appreciate that. Carrie Kelly is also live and online with us. Good evening, Miss Carrie. How are you in sunny California?
I am doing great. It finally cooled off out here in sunny California where I am. We've been having some pretty hot weather.
Well, good. We are pleased that it has cooled off for you, and that all is in fact well right now, and we are excited about all of the things that are going on right now. This evening we're excited about our program, we're excited about life and about living and about all of the things that are happening wherever it is that we happen to be, and we're excited most of all that you decided to join us. And so we are grateful. Carrie, I want to ask you for a moment to just take over and tell me what are the things that are going on in your life, what is it that you are excited about right now, in addition to the fact that the weather is just gorgeous. So talk to us about that for a minute, Carrie Kelly. Can you do that?
Oh, my. Yes, I can. The biggest thing in my life right now are three beautiful granddaughters. I think that I have the most beautiful granddaughters on the planet. They are just lighting my life right up. But they also have me really excited about doing what I need to do to make this world a better place for them to grow up in. I have a 3-month-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old. These are beautiful little girls, and they are just, if I could bottle the energy that the 4-year-old has, I think I'd be a millionaire, like, multiple times over, because the Energizer Bunny has nothing on her. This girl can go and go and go, but when she does fall asleep, she drops like a rock.
And isn't that the way that it happens with all of them? I mean, once they decide that they've had all that they can take, actually, I don't think that they, the little people, actually decided. I think that what happens is that they have just gone until they cannot do anymore, and then spirit says, let me pull your little spirit back, let your body rest, because you are just taking advantage of it. And so we're going to let that little body rest for a moment, and then we'll go back into this thing, because right now you are just too full of it. And so that's an awesome thing. Let me go ahead and welcome everyone to this Your No Show. As I said in my email advertisement to you all and on on Facebook and everywhere else. We are going to have a big fun time this evening. Tonight we are welcoming back our dear friends John Gilmore and Emma Crystal. We are going to talk about life partnership. We're going to talk about to the extent that they decide to share that much with us, about being lovers and best friends. We're going to talk about living together, actually legally. We're going to talk about working together joyfully. We're going to talk about playing together frantically and then praying together thankfully. And as I said in the piece, it is so refreshing for me to see two people with such diverse and frantic lives that are also inexplicably drawn together by common bonds of family, spirituality, personal and professional interests, and how it is that they make it all work through that common bond of love and friendship, shared and disparate opportunities, all tied together in one spiritual umbilical cord of cooperation, joy, love, and kinship. That's what I see, and that's what it is that they show to me and to the world. And so I am just so pleased to call both of them friends and to know that I am surrounded with wonder-filled and beautiful people like John and Emma. And Emma, I will now say good evening to you, my dear. How are you? And did you have a good day? Good evening.
I did. I had a great day. It was pretty full, but it was a great day. Good evening to you as well.
Thank you so much. So good to have you here. And John, your microphone is also live now, and as is Carrie Kelly's. And we've got a lot to talk about. There's so much that is going on in our collective and individual worlds right now. And I want to get right to it in terms of having you all, John and Emma, share with our listening audience all around the world how it is that you're able to do all of the things that you do individually and collectively. And maybe we should start with how it is that you guys connected in the first place. And Emma, let me start with you, and then John, you can chime in whenever you'd like, please.
Okay, so I met John at Open Heart Spiritual Center, and he founded the center years ago. But we didn't get together for lots and lots of years because the extenuating circumstances. one day I was going to the movies, and John sent me a message about something, and it was, of course, center related. And I said, you know what, I'm just kind of out of here because my girlfriend stood me up for a movie that I was going to see. And he said, oh, it's a movie. Is it your thing? And it was The Book of Eli. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Denzel Washington. And this movie seemed different from the other movies he'd done. And John was saying that he hadn't seen the movie. He wanted to see it as well. He said, well, do you mind if I join you? I said, oh, sure, come on. I'd already bought my ticket. He bought his ticket. We watched the movie. So after the movie, this, I think, was a clincher for me for just forever. He said to me, okay, well, I'm still kind of digesting this movie. Do you mind if we go somewhere and talk about it?
Oh, he's smooth. He's smooth.
Because I said to myself, oh, my gosh, he wants to talk about the movie? You want to talk about the movie? And sure enough, he did. So
you all actually talked about the movie.
And talked about the movie and talked about it, and we kind of picked it apart and put it back together. It was great. But we talked for hours that night.
That's awesome. That's pretty neat. And John, what are your recollections from that evening? And what was the visceral effect of seeing this phenomenally beautiful woman as well? Because it's not just, you know, we are touched by angels in all areas and aspects of our lives. So how was it that you were touched by this angel who is now your life partner?
I think part of it was because when we went to dinner, we just had a very, very open and candid conversation. In addition to talking about the movie, we both talked about the point at which we were in our lives. And mm-hmm. basically, we both were, we've been through, you know, marriage before, and we both had kids, and we just had some real understanding of what we were looking for and weren't. And so I finally just decided that I was at that point in my life where I was going to just state exactly who I was and where I was. And we found a lot of commonality. Like, we'd known one another before and for a number of years, but we'd never had an in-depth conversation in the way that we had. And I think there were some sparks that happened that night. And, of course, the rest is history. I mean, we started dating after that and then got married in 2013. So,
wow. Yeah. Wow. Awesome.
I'm Friday the 13th even.
Did you now? You bet. You all
yes,
bet. Talk to me about any spiritual connection that you all were aware of at that point, or did you actually have to wait and experience that? Although the fact that you would have met in a spiritual center and that you were already like-minded, it sounds to me like that, too, lent itself nicely to that process. John, let me start with you first, please.
Well, I think because with me, in a lot of ways, I dated some people before who, because my beliefs are not the mainstream beliefs, who, you know, would pretend that mm-hmm. their beliefs were similar to mine. But yet,
mm-hmm.
as I started to really kind of explore some ideas with them, I discovered that they're really, in a lot of ways, kind of, for lack of a better term, putting up a front. And
mm-hmm.
in some cases, me even having to defend what it was I believed. With Emma, it was the exact opposite. We were mm-hmm. in sync from a spiritual standpoint. And what I appreciate about her is she allows me to be me, and I do the same with her, because prior to her joining or becoming a part of Open Heart, she had been a Buddhist. And so she was coming from a very different space in a very different direction as well. So there was that connection, and the idea of having someone that we could spend time meditating and meditate together, and it wasn't looked at as being strange. The first time I came, had an opportunity to look at her bookshelf, we had a lot of the same books. And so
yeah.
it was just really, just a really very strong connection there.
Wow. I like that because, see, you guys are giving me tidbits of information that I am writing down so that I will know what it is that I need to do. So go and look at a person's bookshelf. See what the types of books are that they are reading, see what it is that they are excited about, and then that will give me some indication and inclination as to what possibly some of our similarities might be, and I guess also some of our differences mm-hmm. might be, because it's not that differences necessarily are a bad thing. We don't want for somebody to parrot who it is that we are. We want instead for us to be able to bounce some things off of somebody that gives us a different perspective. And so mm-hmm. that's what it sounds like to me. Emma, what were your first impressions from that meeting, and what were your takeaways?
Well, once I started to attend Open Heart, there were lots of things that John would say that I'd take home and chew on. It's like, oh, man, but I didn't have anybody to bounce the ideas off of.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was like, okay, I'd have these ideas, and I'd be thinking, oh, man, this is such what I needed to hear. Because, you know, having practiced Buddhism for some years, there were a lot of things that were, again, because I've left New York and have a different community here in Memphis, and so I'm kind of unanchored. I was just kind of floating around, just trying to find my way. And I realized that Buddhism wasn't going to do it for me because it was too much connected to one guy, just one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his teachings,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was great. But so with some of the things that John was teaching at Open Heart, I kept thinking, oh, yeah, so great. It would be so great to have somebody bounce these ideas off and come to the light. Oh, and I could, you know, talk about it. Well, that night at dinner, we talked about so many things that we didn't normally talk about at Open Heart, but questions that I could just
mm-hmm.
go out and do, just retain the questions. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, he gets it. He gets it. He gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So having a one-on-one.
Emma, are you still there? Did we just lose her?
He was,
I heard the
person.
Oh, there we go. She's back. Okay. Go ahead, dear. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So, but it just opened my eyes to just possibilities, and I started to think, wow, because, you know, I thought about his situation at the time and how, well, you know, he was still married officially, but they'd been separated forever. I didn't know any of these things. So all of this
mm-hmm.
information started to come out. But in addition to me being able to bounce ideas off him, I was like,
mm-hmm.
wow, I just want to stay here talking to him all night, just talking.
Yeah.
And that was really important to me, really important.
Wow.
Because we were connecting on more, a spiritual level, definitely. But when he mentioned the books on my bookshelf, I mean, there were people that we were talking about in these books and these different things, and we just, there was so much I could talk about with him, and he got it. He understood where I was coming from, and that was so important to me.
Wow, interesting. Someone said that it is our similarities that maintain. Differences might be cute for a moment and fun to experience, but the thing that really keeps us together is our similarities. Let me just share a little bit with our listening audience about who it is that you all are. John Gilmore is a spiritual leader of the Open Hearts Center for Spiritual Living in Memphis, Tennessee, and he has an interesting religious and spiritual background that allows him to reach out and touch and relate to people from and in all walks of life. Emma Crystal, his life partner, is a gifted artist, having just completed a very successful run in Memphis, which she will tell us a little bit about, with one of the local theaters. She is a vocalist and a professional masseuse with a private practice that stretches from Memphis to Nashville to Little Rock to Hot Springs and God knows wherever else, because those are the type of eclectic people that they are. And before I go any further, I want for you all to know that you may reach them collectively or individually through the openheartspiritual.org. That's the website, openheartspiritual.org. And so we want for you to call in right now and or go up online, as many of you already have, and type your questions in. The ladies seem to be a little more inclined to do this type of thing than the guys do. John, I wonder if you can help me to help folks to understand why that is. Why is it that we men, not you and me, but most men have a tendency to not want to become involved at this level where it is that we do have an open heart and we are sharing from our deepest spaces and places so that people can understand who it is that we are? Why is that in your estimation?
That's a really tough one, Robert. But I continue to explore, and I think that in a lot of cases it's sort of reflective of the situations into which we're born, and whereas a lot of people find themselves born into more traditional settings and traditional households, But then there becomes a point, and I've seen this happen, where the mother would continue to come to church, and if she had daughters, the daughters would come with her. But when the son reached a certain age, he just sort of would disappear. You wouldn't see him. And I think that oftentimes that became the norm and became accepted for a lot of people. He would stay home with the father if the father was present, or just stay home himself. And just kind of looking at men having a different take or a different approach to spirituality is sometimes the approach that we talk about in New Thought may not always be seen as being, I don't want to say manly, but you know,
that's the word I was going to use,
the,
manly.
Right.
Our inner
self turning within, being more reflective and introspective are qualities that oftentimes are not looked at as being manly. And I really feel like because we are whole and complete persons, we have both a masculine and a feminine side. And when it comes to spirituality, being able to appreciate and utilize both is important.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree completely. I want to bring Carrie Kelly, my guest co-host, into our conversation. Carrie, what was it about your husband, relative to the conversation that we've had with John and Emma thus far, that made you feel that this was the person for you, and how do you feel about that term that John just used and I have often used, and I've heard other people use, manly, what it means to be a man's man, or even a woman's man, in this day and time? What are your thoughts, Carrie?
Okay, well, to tackle the first part of your question about how I knew, the very first time I laid eyes on my husband, I wanted to bury him. I thought he was the funniest thing that ever walked on two legs. And then our first date, he was such a gentleman, and I was so used to dealing with knuckleheads, I thought that I was on the set of some, like, you know, soap opera or something because of the things that he was doing. I only saw that happen on, you know, soap operas and movies. I didn't think that men actually pulled the chairs out and held the doors open and, like, came actually to your door to escort you to the car. It was, mm-hmm. like, for me, I was mostly used to, they sit in the car, they push the passenger door open, and you just get in, or, you know, and a date was the drive-through and movies at your mama's house or so-and-so, you know, I mean, and he was just so, I mean, he just had me, and it took me 16 years to get married, but I always knew, As far as the manly man, you know, my take on that is I believe that when a man is comfortable sharing and showing emotion and sensitivity and really tapping into what's authentic to me, that's a manly man. I mean, it's easy to strut around and, you know, be rough and tough and, you know, have this persona of, you know, strength and whatever. But when there is a trigger for emotional release, I think it's important for a man to be comfortable enough to share that and show that. And our society, that the society that we find ourselves in doesn't always allow a man to show those other, you know, sides of him without a punishment of sorts, in a way, uh-huh. of doubting his masculinity, and, you know, it's like this whole, you know, accusation of not being enough of a man if you have to be emotional and feel things. So it just brings up a whole nother set of issues that have to be dealt with, and I think our world would be a better place when we allow the man to be authentic in his feelings and his persona. So
that's worth at least $5 to me, my dear, and I hear you, and I appreciate that, because in my opinion, a spiritual man is a total manly man. A real spiritual man, not one who is a religious man. Okay, there's a huge difference, because religiosity, to me, and John, you and I have certainly had this conversation many times over, but religiosity means that there's only one way that things can be looked at, and however it is that anybody else feels about that, or about a situation, or about a circumstance, or about a person, is not the way that it should be thought about if it's not in line with that person's train of thought. And so I think that a spiritual man and a spiritual woman actually do away with that traditional bend and move in the direction of being open to being hurt, open to being receptive, open to being responsive, and then move forward with each other as opposed to moving separately and apart. John, I wonder if you would share with us for a few minutes what it feels like to be the minister of Open Heart, and to have with you Miss Emma, who is your right, left, up and down, and sideways too. what is that experience like for you, given all of the responsibilities that we have as ministers?
Well, Robert, of course, you know, Open Heart is a phenomenal group of people. You've come and really connected there. Just recently you came and brought us a wonderful two-part series where you delivered a message on two consecutive Sundays, and you know the people there. And so on the one hand, it's very easy, because we have a community of people who love one another, who love to be together. But by the same token, there are responsibilities and things that I do have, as you mentioned. And Emma helps to make that easy, though, because she's right there. She's very dependable in terms of helping me not only get things prepared and making sure that I'm prepared, but she's also my sounding board. When I have ideas, when I have thoughts about certain things or whatever, I always know that I can talk with her, and she provides me not only a listening ear, because she's a great listener, but she's also provides wise counsel. So she is just really there for me with regard to that, even to the point that for the last 12 weeks I've been doing life coach training, which actually happened on a Sunday. And one of the things that would happen is I'd have to leave the Sunday morning celebration early in order to go online to be a part of this training. And so she, along with some of the other members, would carry things on, because I would finish my message and then I'd have to leave out of the room and go and get online. But I know things continue to move smoothly because she was right there to help make that possible. And just knows how to step in, when to step in, it has no problem being a part, and we're a team. I've seen couples in the past where they've been at with a congregation, and it's almost as if they're in competition with one another. But I I've never felt that with Emma. We've always operated as a team. And as I said, she's just right there for me. And she will pull my coattail, if you will, if she thinks I'm stepping out there or moving in the wrong direction or am remiss about something. We have that kind of relationship and communication where she can say to me, hey, baby, maybe you want to look at it this way or maybe this is going on. So, I mean, I trust her completely because
Yeah. I like those two combinations of things, the trust factor and no competition. It's not a competition because we're on the same team. And as I lift you up, then I am automatically lifted up. As I am lifted up, I am carrying you with me. And while for some that is the ideal, it is phenomenal that for the two of you, it in fact is the real. Emma, let me ask you that same question. Well, first of all, tell the people some of the things that you do, Emma Crystal, because I looked at you the last Sunday that I was there, and I said, how do you do all of this? And you looked at me, and you were about to open your mouth. I said, never mind. Don't tell me. I don't even want to know. So tell the people about the things that you are involved in and tell them about the phenomenal play that you just finished and what the response was to that and your part in it.
Okay. So I was in a production of In the Heights, which is a Broadway musical that was running here in Memphis. And, you know, this was one of those shows that I've always wanted to do. When I saw it on Broadway, I thought to myself, I really want to do that show. And it didn't really matter to me in what capacity. So in this particular show, I was just dancing and singing. I had a great time. dancing and singing. So in addition to that, though, I am a director and choreographer. I do more choreography than I do directing. I'm working on the Pajama Gang for one of the high schools here in the city. And that was fun. It's been so, meanwhile, back on the ranch, the thing that makes me really happy, too, is doing massage therapy. I'm officially a massage therapist. And it's so fulfilling. It's like I had been looking in my life, looking for something that would, because I was a computer tech for 20 years. And I was somebody's computer screen or under the hood of somebody's computer always. And I was, I've been a performing artist for a lot of years as well, but that wasn't my bread and butter money. So when I got to this place where I felt like I really needed to leave the computer field, I started looking around, and the first thing that came to me was massage therapy because it's something that I thought would allow me to give more of my energy, more healing energy to people, and that certainly has proven out to be the case. So so directing, choreographing, a massage therapy, and I hope that's enough.
Well, and you still do computer work because when I called today and finally was able to get to get John, he said, "Oh, Emma's over helping somebody with their system." I said, "Oh, okay, I got you." So
have a couple of clients.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal, and that is awesome, and then I know also knowing the two of you, being in your inner circle, that you all pull each other's coattails though, and say, "Okay, hey, it's time to cool out," and that too. Going back to Carrie's point a little bit earlier, I think is what people in partnership can do for each other because nobody knows the other like they do. And so it then becomes an awesome opportunity for you to have someone say that. And if they say it, then it sounds to me like you then trust what they're saying and you say, okay, let me back down. Let me calm down and cool out a little bit. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you all of just. Go ahead.
Oh, what I was going to say, I was when Carrie talked about, you know, opening the car door for her, and it was amazing. Doesn't that feel amazing for somebody to actually care enough about you to come around and open the door for you and, you know, give you the first drink of wine from the bottle and, you know, just those little bitty things that just make you feel amazing. John is so good at that, and so keeping him.
Yeah, and you know, it's still, even though we've been married almost 9 years, it'll be 9 years on the 24th, which is tomorrow, right? And even now, those little things still matter to me, and it makes a difference when they don't happen. Like, if he leaves the house and forgets to kiss me goodbye, and I don't care if he's just going to the store, it's an issue. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm spoiled now, you know?
Right. I'm totally with you on that.
I remember hearing someone say that, I think it was my granny, and she said to me, she said, baby, the same thing it took to get her, it will take that to keep her. So
keep her,
if you have no intention of continuing that, then don't start it, because that way she can go ahead and But that way she can go ahead and move on to somebody that really appreciates her for who she is. Did you hear that last part? You know, so the value, and this was coming from my granny. This was coming from my granny, who insisted that that men treat her properly. And she, in turn, was gracious about always doing the same. Let me ask you all to stand by for a moment. All of your mics are still on, and so if you say anything disparaging about the host, I will know it and will turn you off completely. Okay, so I just want you to know that I will know, but all of our mics are continuing to be hot. This is the No Show. It's part of the Renford Broadcast Network. We are excited to bring you programs like this, where real human beings who are having a not only physical experience but are spiritual as well and are having that at the same time come and talk to you about who it is that they are, how it is that they are showing up in the world, and what it is that is important not only to them but to you as well, because collectively we are all in this thing together. On Monday night, the RBR network of shows has the Cosmic Contact Show at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Pam Drennan in Seattle, Washington. On Tuesday, we have the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee, and Justin Abner from Orlando, Florida. It has been broadcast for more than 13 years. On Wednesday, we have No Show with a little bald-headed guy out of Little Rock, Arkansas, and he specializes in the New Thought spiritual movement, and he is excited about having people like these phenomenal folks that I have on tonight with him at all times. Immediately after this program at 8:30 p.m., on this same channel every Wednesday is the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program with James Renford Powell. That comes to you from Memphis, Tennessee, and it is a phenomenal program. On Thursday, the Progressive News Weekly Show at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Daryl Clark, and the moderator and co-host is Cecil McDaniel, who is also the director of the Renford Broadcast Network and Renford Broadcast Radio. We have so many awesome shows going on. Again, on Friday, the Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Rhonda Harrison from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado. Rhonda is also the moderator for this particular program, and many of you have been on her program as well as on this one. Saturday, we have Soul Town, the Sound of Music, broadcast at 3 p.m. from Memphis, Tennessee again. And it is hosted by Reginald Jenkins, a founding member and CEO formerly of Sound Town Records, which was established after Stax Records closed in Memphis. So we have programs that you can tune into, and all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to share with people, to go up online and send us a little note, if you will. Let us know that this is something that is of interest to you, that you want for it to continue, and we promise and pledge our support to make certain that people like John and Emma and Carrie and Carl and so forth and so on are the people that we are talking to about the things that are of interest to you. And when you decide that you don't want to talk about it, you have someone who will. And so we're excited to have people like these folks with us. Tonight we are talking with two very, very, very good friends of mine, Emma Crystal and John Gilmore, who happen to be life partners. They are lovers, they are best friends, and they are talking about living together legally, working together joyfully, playing together frantically, and praying together thankfully. And that was what I came up with when I thought about you guys, because we always try to go out after we have met at the churches, or even if we didn't, if I wasn't speaking there or whatever, we still try to connect and share some personal time. And I have to tell you all that when I don't get to do that, I feel like there's a little bit of a void, you know? I mean, I know I'm going to make it and I'll be all right, but I just miss you when I'm not with you. And I think that's part of having the energy and the love that people can have one for another when they know that things are right. We do have a person who wants to say something, so I want to go ahead and invite this person in to speak to us. It's area code 219, and I think, I don't know, John, you may even know this person. Hello, are you there, caller?
Hi, Reverend Robert. Yes, I am. This is Mary Lane. Hi,
good evening, Dr. Elaine.
How's everyone
doing?
How are you?
We're doing great.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate them on their beautiful marriage and just the outstanding spiritual work they're doing. And I also wanted to say I love you both, and God bless you.
Absolutely.
Now, smile on my face.
While you are here with us, and I know that you may have to run for a moment, actually, John and Emma, this was set up, okay? I did call Dr. Elaine and share with her that you were going to be on tonight and asked her if she could call in, and she had this thing going on, so she may have to leave us. But I know, John, that you had gone to be there for the PBS special on her phenomenal book, Spiritual Healing. And I wonder if you would share with us, John, for just a moment, what that experience was like, what you saw, and by the way, I saw the beautiful pictures that you did from that experience as well, and I think you're trying to take my job, John. But anyway, what were your thoughts about the PBS special that Dr. Elaine is now on?
Well, Robert, I'm going to steal from you when you use serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality.
Right.
That
Absolutely.
Describes it, because it was a really wonderful thing to see, because Elaine is a sister. I mean, I really feel like she is my sister, and to see her achieve one of her lifelong dreams to be able to do this special, to do the taping, to have that room with some people who are very, very, very connected to her, and for her to offer the knowledge and the wisdom and perspective that she does, because I told her when I first met her, she talks unlike any physician I've ever met before.
Mm-hmm.
She comes from a level in a space of, you know, total healing and in a holistic way. And so it was great for me to be there. And then the synchronicity and serendipity part of that, you know, met some wonderful people there. And I also just met two people from my high school. We ended up finding out we all went to the same high school. We knew people in common because there was a reception afterwards and we talked for a long time. But it was just, it was a magic moment to be in that room and for Elaine to do what she does best, which is to talk about the wonderful bodies and spirits that we are and how when those things are in sync, healing and whatever else needs to take place happens easily and effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And to piggyback that, though, John, she will also talk about you when, you know, you don't leave certain things alone that she knows should not be a part of your diet. Sister girl will come down rather hard. It doesn't matter that you might be a minister, that, you know, you're trying to lead all these people or any of that. She will tell you just like it is. Now, Reverend Robin, you know that this is not what you need to do right now. So I, too, echo your sentiment. And that's love, though. That is what that is. That is love. The book is Spiritual Healing. Dr. Elaine, before you have to go, tell us when. Well, first of all, I want to know what your comments are relative to the PBS special from your side. John has shared with us what it was like being there and seeing it. Tell us when the show is going to actually air, and where we go from here.
Well, the name of the program is Super Healing Secrets, Reverend Robert, and it will begin airing Thanksgiving weekend nationally, so your audience members will have to check their local PBS listings to see when it's airing there locally. And let me just say this, because I don't want to take up too much time, but my prayer was that God used me, and I feel that I got out of God's way and I was used. And as Malcolm X said in his autobiography, if I've done any good, all praise goes to God. Only the mistakes have been mine. So that's the spirit in which I spoke on that day, and I think God spoke through me.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Always.
Absolutely.
Always. The book is Super Healing. It can be picked up at Barnes & Noble or any of the major bookstores. And online. So if you just go up and Google Super Healing, Dr. Elaine's information will come up. And so we are so pleased that you decided to spend a few of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us this evening in sharing back with your friends. And as you know, we have an open door policy for you here at the No Show. So we are excited about having you to come back again and again and again. But let me ask you one other thing. Share with us what your thoughts are, because you've been in partnership for some time with a loving partner. We're talking about couples who live, work, play, and pray together and still, at the end of the day, like each other and actually love each other, perhaps even more than they did before. And many of us are trying to inculcate that into our experience so that we continue to do the things that make people feel good and will help all of us to move down that road together. What do you feel, Dr. Elaine, has helped you and your life partner to move forward in wonderful ways?
Well, I can only speak for myself, Reverend Robert, and I would say what I've learned in this wonderful adventure and journey we call marriage is that I have to love myself before I could really love anyone, and I cannot have any greater expectations of my partner than I have of myself in terms of... Yeah, that's what I learned. You have to love yourself, and you have to learn how to do that first and foremost, and not expect someone to give you the love that you haven't given yourself. And when you get over that bridge, life becomes a whole lot easier because the expectations shift from filling a void to sharing an expression of love. That's been my experience.
Wow, wow. Well, that is an awesome experience indeed to have, and we thank you so much. If you're able to stay with us, then please do so. And if you have to move forward and move on or go back, then we wish you Godspeed. But we're so glad that you were with us for these few moments. John, let me come back to you.
I say one final thing about my brother, John. I have such admiration for John because I know where he began in terms of his ministry, and I know the sacrifices he made to become the minister that he is today in terms of shifting from one particular perspective of Christianity to New Thought. And I really admire him and Emma, and from a distance, because I haven't met my sister Emma in person yet. We've met in the spirit, but I admire the consistency and the dedication and the commitment that I've seen evolve in him and express through him over these last 20 years of his journey. So thank you, John, for inspiring me in the way that you have.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for coming in on the call.
You're welcome.
Well, again, you're certainly invited to stay with us if you can. And if not, we do wish you Godspeed, and we understand. Ladies and gentlemen who are online with us, if you have a comment or a question or a statement to make, you may please, if you're on the telephone call with us, please press 1, and then I will know that is your intent, and we will bring you into the fold, and we will talk about all of the things that we're talking about and perhaps a few other things in the few minutes that we have left as well. John, I want to move for a moment to the ministry. I know that you are getting ready to commence support of this, the 50th year anniversary of the celebration of what is the organization?
Oh, A Course in Miracles.
Right, the 50th year anniversary of the Course in Miracles, and so there's going to be a big national push on that effort. And you and I were talking this week, and you wanted for people to know that first of all, you want for them to know what the Course in Miracles is, and I will ask you to share that. But then also, you're going to be involved. Open Heart is going to be involved in the Memphis area in doing some phenomenal things with it. So just share that with us for a moment, please.
The Course in Miracles is really a book. It's a series of lessons. It's a workbook, if you will. It's information that came as a result of two people who were working together who totally hated one another, if you will. And then the woman who was there, she began to get this urging to record this, to write down these messages that she was receiving. And she said that where the message came from was Jesus was revealing these things to her. And so she began putting all of this down into what became this course, and it's really one, probably the person who is the most well-known teacher of it, and it's really not any kind of formal organization or anything like that. It's information that's out there, but Marianne Williamson is in her book, Return to Love. And other things. She's really been the one who's kind of put it out there, made it available to a lot of people. But it's they're daily lessons that you can read and get inspiration from, and a lot of people have been helped by it over the years they're particularly in the beginning with those daily lessons, it kind of takes you out of a sense of duality and getting you to see the oneness in all things. And it's one of those things I personally have had a kind of interesting relationship with. When I first heard about it and tried to read it, it did nothing for me. And mm-hmm. it's something that over the years I will flow with for a while and then a kind of pull back, and then I'll find that it shows up in my life again. And for me, that's an indicator to pay attention to the writings and the teachings. And then when it's kind of run its course with me, then I'll leave it. But then there are other people I know. There's a very close friend who talks about he starts his day with the book in his hand and the lessons that are there, and how it's brought him inner peace, it's brought him sobriety, it's brought him centeredness. And so what's happening is as they celebrate the 50th anniversary, they're asking spiritual centers and New Thought churches and other people that are amenable to screen a video, a movie that tells the history of the course. Mm. And so we agreed at Open Heart to be one of those places that's going to, it's the last part of October, but we're going to be one of those places that will be screening the movie.
Okay. Well, please let us know as soon as you have a date. Do you have a date now, John? Do you know what that date might be, or you don't have it
yet?
Please let us know as soon as you have it. And, of course, it will be our pleasure to support you in pushing that out. Marianne Williamson came to the D.C., Maryland area when I was president of the Capital District International New Thought Alliance, and we supported her in one of our local churches there in pushing the information out, and we had a couple of churches filled with people. I was really surprised. I didn't realize that as many people are involved in the Course in Miracles as there are. And this is interesting that it is now kind of making, I guess, a little bit of a comeback, because it seemed that it had gone not away, but gone to the side quietly for a moment, and now it is coming back. And this is just what is so unique in my mind about New Thought metaphysical churches and spaces and places and centers that just say, listen, come on down. We want to know truth. If you are involved in and talking about truth, then we support you. And you have friends here. And so let's see how it is that we can bridge this gap together. So, John, you and Emma know that I will support you all in every way that I can here as well along that line. Let me ask you guys what it is that you would share with people who are looking to strengthen their relationships, strengthen the bond that exists between them in order to then move forward and move on as we prepare to close out this segment. Let me ask you first, and for the first 15 or 20 seconds, Emma, to share, and then John, I will ask you to close it out. Emma, please.
Oh, great. I would just say you have to be very intentional. We're just, just be intentional about the relationship. And that means, paying attention to every aspect of it and just giving your attention to the relationship.
Excellent. Thank you. John?
For me, it would be communication. Saying what's on your mind, having a safe place to say it and share it, and know that you're loved.
Regardless of whatever is going on, baby, just know that you are I still love you, honey.
You are loved.
I got that. Next week, my guest on this particular program will be Dr. Elaine. How about that? Isn't that
Yay.
Something?
Yay!
Oh, man, I didn't know that. Yes, I did. Dr. Elaine, we're so grateful that you just showed up and showed out as you normally do. We'll see you next week. Thank you, folks. We know that you could have been elsewhere, but you chose to be right here with us, and so we have had this fabulous time that we otherwise would not have had had it not been for who it is that you are and how God is showing up in you and in the world. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Until next week, we're out of here. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
God bless.
Bye.